Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know that this podcast is presented by mybookie.ag and that if you use the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K, that you will get a 50% deposit bonus on your first deposit. And given that you are a listener to this podcast, I would assume you're relatively knowledgeable about sports, and I would trust you to try your edge on the online sportsbook. You can lay down some money and get in on the action at one of the safest online sportsbooks in the world. It's the only one that I am currently using. You can wager on all sorts of different outcomes on mybookie.ag, soccer, football, any major league, esports. You can even create your own player props, which is useful for me because if you know anything about me, I do enjoy a good player prop. So if you deposit using the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K, you get a 50% bonus when you deposit. And I will add this for listeners of the TakeCast. If you deposit using the promo code MATTEK and you send proof of it to me on Twitter, I will follow you on Twitter and you can have access to me via DMs whenever you want. That's the TakeCast bonus that I'm adding in association with the mybookie.ag deposit bonus. Now let's get back to the show. Hello everyone and welcome to a bonus edition of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic, of course. This is the bonus episode that you guys are getting for the podcast reaching 200 ratings on iTunes. I know that we're actually creeping pretty close to 300 on iTunes right now, so there is another bonus episode being planned. This episode is a little bit of a vanity one for me. I got really interested in the Canadian Football League this season, you know, partly due to Johnny Manziel going up to the league, partly because in between the World Cup and the English Premier League season starting, you know, the NFL hasn't started yet. There's just kind of a dearth of sports going on. Not a huge MLB guy, as you guys know. Can't watch that every night, you know, just not my style. So kind of got into the CFL, and it's, you know, it's really interesting. The game theory for the CFL is a lot different. The downs, you know, there's only three. There are 12 players on the field. The field is slightly bigger. And it's a really open and expansive kind of football. You know, they pass a lot. The receivers have pretty big advantages on the cornerbacks most of the time. And there are going to be guys you recognize from watching football on Saturdays and sometimes even Sundays. You know, one of the Rainey brothers plays for British Columbia. Duke Williams, the old SEC receiver, is right now leading the league in receiving for the Edmonton Eskimos. It's really an interesting league, and this interview that I did with Sean Burke, he is the assistant general manager of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, which was the team that brought Johnny Manziel to the CFL before they traded him for quite a bounty to the Montreal Alouettes. This interview took place before Manziel was traded, so that's why when I spoke about it, you know, he obviously is not talking about a trade. I wanted to do a larger episode where I spoke to some scouts from the CFL and things like that. It just didn't quite come together, and that's okay. I think this interview, there's a couple really interesting things that Mr. Burke said, and I think you guys will really enjoy it, and we'll get right into the interview after this message from our sponsor. Daily Roto is a mostly proud sponsor of the TakeCast, a mostly sports podcast. TakeCast listeners can save 10% at Daily Roto with the promo code JANIS, J-A-N-I-S. If you are playing on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto will help you improve your daily fantasy results this fall and save time in the process with lineup optimizers, ownership projections, fantasy projections, premium content, and much more. They have all the good stuff that you want to help you make money at sports betting and daily fantasy. Their new lineup optimizer will let you build optimal GPP teams with stacks based on their projections faster than I can punt money off betting on Peter Uihlein. Sure, you can play the guys that I recommend each week, but shouldn't you also get advice from a proven daily fantasy winner like Drew Dinkmeyer? Yes, I do have better hair than Drew, but I also have his cell phone number, and that makes me a winner almost as much as it makes him a winner of the DraftKings Millionaire Maker. And it's not just fantasy. They have tools to bet on player props, golf matchups, and a customizable NFL game simulator for this fall. Head over to dailyrodeo.com/premium and save 10% with promo code JANIS today. Hello, I am sitting here with Sean Burke, who is the assistant general manager of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He graciously agreed to spend some time talking with me about constructing a roster in the CFL. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. Coming off a big win for you guys against Winnipeg, and that's actually the first thing I wanted to ask you about, and we won't spend too much time on it, but kind of what's the dynamic in the building right now with Jeremiah Masoli and obviously Johnny Manziel signed on the team as well?
Oh, we got a great dynamic in the building from a standpoint of the whole team, to be honest with you, and quarterbacks are a big part of that. So Johnny and Jeremiah are working closely together, and Jeremiah bringing him up the CFL curve of learning things in the intricacies of our league, and they're doing a great job together.
That's great. So as an American who watches the game, one of the big questions I have about roster construction is obviously, you know, what sort of limitations does the Canadian quotient put on you as a, you know, an assistant general manager? How hamstrung are you by having to have, you know, a set number of Canadians on the field?
Well, I wouldn't say it's hamstrung. It's a unique nature of our league, and we have to dress a certain number of Canadians that adhere to the ratio. So each game we have to dress 21 Canadians, which seven of which have to be starters on the field. So they could be any variation of defensive or offensive starters, and you have to mark those before the game so the referees know who your starters are. And then if a starter did go down as a Canadian, a Canadian must replace him in the lineup. So if you had a starting wide receiver, for example, and you didn't have a wide receiver backup as a Canadian, you'd have to put in someone on the offensive side of the ball, be it an O-lineman or a running back, to help offset that loss.
So as far as player evaluation goes, you know, inside of Hamilton's front office, kind of what's the setup in terms of scouts, you know, analytics department, or, you know, maybe even just one employee? Where does the player evaluation process begin for the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
Well, we have a personnel department that is about five deep, and we all take on different roles in that area. We do have a dedicated person that runs our draft room and has the ultimate last call. That's our other assistant general manager, Drew Alamang. He has final call on the CFL Canadian draft. And then American-wise, we visit NFL training camps and do NCAA scouting and hold free agent camps where all of us are involved in garnering players to evaluate to come up here from the United States.
So most of your evaluation of U.S. players, would that come from, you know, game film and getting to meet with them face-to-face, or do you guys sometimes have an idea of who you are targeting for, you know, either it be in the draft or whether it be in free agency based on production numbers, like kind of the statistics they're able to put up?
Yeah. You know, we use all avenues, and analytics is obviously a resource that can be used. I would say it's a resource just as much as a scout's eye, and it's just another tool that can reinforce your thoughts on the value of guys and, you know, areas of importance on a team when building a roster and going from there.
And something that I have noticed, and you can tell me if this is kind of an anomaly or a trend, a lot of the American wide receivers who do make their way up into the CFL tend to be SEC wide receivers. For example, you guys have Terrence Tolliver on your roster. Is there a reasoning for that, or is that kind of just a coincidence that happens right now?
I think it's just a coincidence. Obviously, the SEC is a great conference, and it's more who's available at the time, and it's not necessarily what conferences they're from. Some of it's based off pedigree of NFL practice rosters and their practice roster time being completed and not having any more availability, and it's just sort of time and place. So it's not like we're specifically targeting SEC guys as a league or our team individually, but obviously that's a great conference that produces a high level of football player.
Sure. One of the things I like the most about the Canadian game versus the American game, and I really do think it adds another wrinkle of strategy, is that the wide receivers can have a running start as they cross the line of scrimmage. And for me, I think that would that would have to change the evaluation of wide receivers a little bit. For example, on your roster, I think Luke Tasker is so perfectly suited to that role in a way that perhaps, you know, some NFL wide receivers, I think that role would be hard for them. And in terms of, you know, your job as a player evaluator, what's something you would look for that would specifically make a CFL wide receiver successful in that role, the slot back role?
You know, obviously, I think it's getting in and out of breaks and short area quickness is a huge thing. You're looking at measurables like three cone and short shuttle. And route running is obviously a huge component as well. With a guy that's maybe a 4.6 guy, you know, when they're running downhill and using the waggle, they suddenly look a lot faster than DBs that are standing still. So route running ability and the ability to get in and out of breaks is huge in our league.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of just undervalued the way people look at I've really been getting into it this year, and I've been so impressed with the wide receiver play and also the cornerback play, because I think cornerbacks in the CFL have a different job, and they really have to be faster long speed wise. Is that something that you guys look for in the draft when you come to evaluating cornerbacks, kind of, you know, 40 times speed over that longer distance?
Oh, obviously, if there's great measurables and guys can run, then definitely the long speed helps, and then also flipping your hips and being able to transition quick when you're beat as well. There's going to be times where you definitely need to catch up to a guy, and if you're tight hipped and can't have no catch up speed, then he's going for seven pretty quick down the field, especially with the waggle. So it's definitely a unique skill set and. Canadian game for DBs, and it's probably one of the biggest adjustments position-wise in our league is DBs coming up here, you know, corners turning to halfbacks up here and facing those guys at the waggle and different rules and everything with the league. It's definitely an adjustment for a DB.
And, you know, the defensive and offensive line is different as well. In the American game, they're these big, giant guys. But with the premium on space in the Canadian game, I've noticed that, you know, a lot of the best linemen are, I wouldn't call them giant men by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they move laterally very well. And I actually don't know from a coaching perspective kind of how blocking plays are called in the CFL generally. Is it more zone blocking or is it still a lot of man-to-man assignments?
It depends on the scheme. Every staff's different, as you know, with all teams. But I would say, you know, you're looking for those athletic guys that can get out there on pass pro and handle themselves. And on the D-line, we've always been a league that prided ourselves on sort of the undersized outside linebacker types that's become a lot more prevalent in the NFL now. And there's probably guys playing in the NFL now that 10 years ago would have been no-brainers to be up here that are getting looks, which is great for them. You know, football's always goes in cycle of what you're looking for in players, and sort of seems like the CFL game's being adapted a lot by the NFL in recent years.
That's actually a really interesting point that I hadn't thought of, but yeah, the edge rushers in the NFL, these guys who are getting paid the most on defense, really, that's kind of the prototypical CFL linebacker, the guy who can drop back into pass coverage when needed but is really quick around the edge of the line. Like, you guys kind of develop that sort of player inherently because the rule structure incentivizes it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that outside backer in the NFL that maybe didn't have a home a while ago because they were undersized has always been a big-time edge rusher in our league. Joe Montford's a guy that played in Hamilton that had 20-plus sacks multiple years up here in this league and is a Hall of Famer, and likely if it was a different era in the NFL would have never been seen up here at this time. But there's, you know, Quick Parker was another guy up here that same type of body type that, you know, that 6'1", 6'2", 240 guy that just drives offensive tackles crazy. It's been around a long time in our league, and you're now seeing it in the NFL as the ultimate pass rushers are coming into that body type, and Cam Wake was one of the first ones that came from the CFL back to the NFL and put up those numbers that he has and has had the career that he's had down there.
And I kind of think that will actually be a more common thing where the NFL looks to the CFL for edge rushers, because that position, you would just do anything to get a good edge rusher. But the last thing I wanted to ask you about is coaching. So your guys' head coach, June Jones, he used to coach both in American college football and in the NFL. Now in the CFL game, kind of from a coaching perspective, what are some of the biggest adjustments that these guys have to make coming from North America?
You know, obviously it's handling the roster each week with, sometimes when you get injuries at a Canadian position, the next week one of your American players has to be down at another position. Then also the play clock, with it being a 20-second play clock, a lot of the American coaches, what they say the first to me is the speed of the game and having to get on to the next play and the next call in the game. And then the little rules and differences that come up week to week as well is a learned process. And each week the coaches learn something new and take it away to be more advanced in the future.
So over the course of the last 10 years, really, the American game has trended so much more towards passing that it kind of resembles what is also now a CFL game. But as someone who is ignorant of the history, has that just always been the way that the Canadian game has gone because of the three downs and because of the wider field? Has passing really generally been the main form of offense in the CFL?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a passing league with the three downs. If you run a run play and you're in second and 10, it's obviously your chances of conversion are a lot less than being in second and short. So it's definitely been prolifically a passing league where some high passing numbers have been put up by quarterbacks and some great receivers have come through here. So it's definitely for any American viewers, a league to watch for entertainment value, and the number of players that play in our league that people in U.S. households would know once they flipped on a game would be astonishing to them. Probably, it's a great high level football league up here.
That's just incredibly true. This is my first year really following it super extensively, and I've seen all sorts of guys I watched in college, guys who have been in the league. It's a fantastic product. I guess would that be your number one selling point to the American audience? Just that they will have players to watch that they know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously everyone's drawn to their favorite college players or their favorite colleges even. And I think the normal viewer would be shocked to turn on a game and most weeks you can find one, two, three players from your favorite college playing in the CFL and continuing their football career. And to see the guys playing up here at the, different positions and different levels of football that they've played at, it's a great, great league. And sometimes, pro football is about time and circumstance. And there's a lot of guys in our league that should be probably playing on Sundays, and either injuries or being in the right situation or coaching changes or whatever else have changed that, and they've come up to this league and established themselves and have great careers up here.
I had that same experience. I turned on the Hamilton game, your guys' first game, and Jalen Saunders was one of the wide receivers, and he went to the University of Oklahoma, my favorite school, and so that was kind of just right away. I was like, it's just so much fun to watch. Like there's just so much going on, and it's just a great league.
Well, I appreciate it, Davis, and appreciate the time, and glad we could learn more about the CFL.
Yeah, hey, thanks so much for joining me, and have a nice day. Hey everyone, I wanted to take a minute to tell you about Apex Fantasy Leagues, the best place to play online season-long fantasy football for money. There is a skill-based format where you play two games per week, and there's industry-leading payouts where Apex actually adds money to the payout pool. They really ensure that the best fantasy players get the good return on their investment. Apex hosts 12-team PPR leagues that provide a variety of drafting options, live or email, snake draft or auction. You You also have the flexibility to sign up for a league just hours before the draft. On top of that, Apex pretty often puts extra money from their profits into the prize pool to make sure that leagues get filled. Apex also offers dynasty leagues in a variety of formats. And finally, Apex is the place to play if you want to win big money in a format that mitigates randomness. Not only does Apex have the highest payouts in the whole industry on a percentage basis, but it also features both blind bidding, free agent acquisition budgets, so that all free agent acquisitions are fair in two matchups per week, one versus a head-to-head opponent and the other versus the league average, so that, you know, you don't get screwed when your opponent has the most points and you have the second most points. You're still going to come out of that week with a win. You can compete every week without worrying about arbitrary strength of schedule. Give it a try. I promise you will love it. Go to apexfantasyleagues.com today and sign up. And now let's get back to the show.